Welcome to Beyond 100K, a special series introducing you to the MFR Coaches Beyond 100K Mastermind. Over the next few weeks, we'll bring you insightful conversations with guests who will share their experiences inside the mastermind, from discussing strategies for creating second offers to insights on hiring additional MFR therapists, overcoming obstacles, and scaling their MFR businesses beyond the 100K milestone. Sit back and enjoy the episodes. Welcome to the MFR Coaches Podcast, where we talk about how you can create a six-figure MFR practice. I'm your host, Heather Hommel. Not only have I been practicing MFR for 11 years, I'm also a life and business coach, especially for MFR therapists. My goal is for you to understand how to get fully booked, how to talk to your clients, and how to make sure they understand what's possible for them with MFR treatment. I'm here to help you stop under-earning, overworking, and burning out. I'll lend support so you can create the MFR practice you've always wanted. Learn how you can do it too, even if you live in a tiny town, and even if you're just starting out, and even if you've ran your practice for years. Let's go. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Beyond 100K Mastermind special series of the podcast. I'm your host, Heather Hommel, the MFR coach, and I'm joined today by one of my mastermind students, Patty Calkins. Patty is the owner of Exhale Myofascial Release in Richmond, Virginia, and you've probably heard her on the podcast before. She's been with us a couple of times. Welcome back, Patty. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. Right.
Yeah. So a part of what we're going to talk about today is one of the aspects of the mastermind is learning how to hire another MFR therapist into your practice as either an employee or a contractor, which Patty has successfully done. And we just want to talk about your journey and how it's been for you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what your practice was like before you joined the mastermind, and we'll start from there.
Yeah. So before the mastermind, I had worked with you, I think once for a 3-month period, but it had been over a year. So in that time, I had grown my business pretty rapidly. It was bullish, but getting fuller, and probably I was 4 weeks booked out, and I was starting to get uncomfortable with that. It's funny how you can be uncomfortable being not booked, and then you can be uncomfortable being fully booked and booked out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, the thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's been so hard. It was hard for me because, I mean, probably it's hard for everybody in that I've been taking care of people for almost 20 years. So, you know, when people come to me and they come to any of us, they're like desperate. And so my brain gets wound up and I want to try and get them in. But, you know, telling people they had to wait made me really uncomfortable. So I figured out how I could kind of make that more comfortable in that I would hire somebody. I had a couple of, well, actually 3 friends from massage school who had pursued myofascial release. So I started, you know, kind of exploring what that would look like. I came up with this idea like the summer, like in July, I think. I remember having this conversation with Kristen Kunzelman, and she was like, "You're crazy. Why would you want to do that?" Because that's not something she's interested in. I also told her the same thing. I also told her the same thing about her idea, which has turned into this just amazing thing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, funny how that all works. But
yes.
So I started, you know, asking a couple people, and I decided to do that probably a month into having invested in the mastermind. Mm-hmm. But the mastermind wasn't going to open until October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I sold it in June. And then you had access to course materials, but we weren't going to coach until October.
Until October. Right. Exactly. And I remember we had an interaction about it. I think there was like a little coaching call I got or something. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, you know, it's not an emergency. Why don't you just wait? You know, if you wait till mastermind starts, you can have support as you move towards this. Mm-hmm. And I was so uncomfortable. I didn't feel like I could wait.
Yeah. So you were like, I need to hire someone right now to take care of my being booked out a month problem.
Yes. Yeah. It might have been closer to 6 weeks, but it was what's the difference, right? At that point. So I hired somebody in August, one of the people that I went to massage school with, to start just one day a week. And we did do some training. My background as a PTA, I did a lot of work training students. So, and I also was in charge of a clinic a couple of times. So I felt like this was totally doable and so easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before the mastermind started, how did it end up actually feeling for you to take on the endeavor of hiring someone without support?
Just the first part of it, the training, like all of it was more work than I was comfortable with. It took me a little while to feel really uncomfortable, but I remember thinking things like, man, this is a lot of work. This is really stressing me out. Why is this so much work? Because I felt like I had prepared my staff member pretty well, but I hadn't provided all the materials I would learn to provide later with you when I got actual coaching on it, things that made a big difference. But I grew more and more uncomfortable with all the requirements for the job.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically building your practice and then you're building another practice for somebody else. And then you're responsible for them being booked and you become responsible for all of these things. So I really appreciate, and I think for everybody listening, how valuable and this share that you are doing with us is, because if people listen to this, because a lot of people have this dream of hiring an MFR therapist into their practice. A lot of people want to open their practice with multiple people and they feel like they need to have kind of a clinic setting in order to be successful. That's not what this episode is about, because I think you can have success either way, but I think that you can have successful hires when you are very intentional about the process of the hiring, the training that goes with it, and how you plan to handle it. And I think a lot of people miss the steps in between some of that, of like, what does it actually take to manage people? And even if you've been in management positions before, it's a completely different animal when you're managing in your own business. It's something different when you're managing for somebody else's. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't have that perspective until I was on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Because as a manager for another company, all of the foundation was there for me, all of the job requirements and the training and the evaluation and all of that stuff. I didn't really even, I didn't even have to do a lot of that. I just had to, make sure that people were following whatever requirements there were already set in place. I didn't have that awareness that was a missing piece. I may have provided it verbally, but I mean, I think it would take a really exceptional person, I say this in retrospect, to have absorbed my verbal training. I mean, there was hands-on training as well, but verbal and hands-on training, and absorbed it all and, came out on the other side like, oh yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because when we think about this from the person coming in, the therapist that we're hiring in, they're probably afraid. One, right? It's new to them. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And they want it to be easy, right? A lot of people want to work for another therapist because it is quote unquote easier. And then welcome into my practice. I want you to do A to Z things and just remember what I tell you, right? That's kind of how we want it to be. And I think that is the mistake that most people make, which is just normal because we don't know what we don't know.
So, right. And don't ask me any questions and don't require any more time than I'm already.
Right. Don't take any more time from me. I'm already exhausted. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, just a variety of things that I was completely unprepared for, really.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows, that this story has a really good ending, and Patty actually still is retaining this therapist to this day. And you've made changes and made it into something pretty wonderful for both of you, from what I can gather. So let's talk about
when you got into the mastermind, like what were some of the things you learned that you then put in place?
Well, when I would come for coaching, you actually started talking about how we all needed standard operating procedures. Mm-hmm. And I immediately disregarded that because
everybody did. I had so many blank stares. I thought on that call, I feel like everybody broke up with me individually. I was like, all right, well, I just blew the mastermind to hell. Nobody wants standard operating.
All I could think was, I worked for the Army. I don't want to recreate that here. Yeah. So whatever it is she's saying, I'm not interested in. But you were persistent. You kept talking about the value of it. And eventually my thick head received that information. When you said, who is going to, like, if you got sick or you died, or I don't know, whatever it was you said that was, you know, that would not allow me to do what I was doing, who's going to step in and how are they going to know what to do? And that's when I connected the dots. I was like, well, okay, I already have somebody there who's there and kind of like reliant on me feeding information verbally over and over again, and probably not always being nice. If I wrote this all out, gee, how much easier would that be for her and me?
Yeah.
And my nervous system went from being wildly uncomfortable and kind of annoyed, which wasn't anybody's fault but my own, to relaxed. You know, December, I was very, very, very unhappy and not knowing what I was going to do. And January, I actually did this work, started developing standard operating procedures, came up with a monthly staff meeting, created an opportunity for her to get worked on and for her to work on me so I could keep giving her feedback monthly about how she was doing the work. Because she's taken a lot of courses, a lot, like, you know, a ridiculous number of courses, but it's all fairly fresh. And this is the first time she's been able to really like focus. So it was just one more, I wanted to create one more opportunity just to give her feedback.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's also important to note, no matter what seminars a therapist has trained, when they come into your office and they're working for you, your name is in fact on their work. So you need to be able to communicate with whoever it is that you bring in how you want patients treated to a certain degree, right? Their touch is going to be different. The way they do things is going to be their own, but you can control like the intake. You can control the conversation that is had, the sales conversation, right? And you can actually train them to basically sell as well as you do. And I think that was one of the other things is like, some people we hire on might not sell in the same way we do. They might not have the same, well, they don't have the same coaching skills most often. So they aren't where you're at. So it's your job to train that into them and to be really honest about what the requirements are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that was an important piece. We, in the course of December, because I didn't have a plan, the plan was very, very loosely held together. She was getting new clients on her schedule, but didn't have the skills that I had been trained in. I was sharing the words and I had shared some of your materials, but there was a sense of overwhelm, you know. There just was. She needed more nurturing. And you know, I'm sure every person I actually have another person coming on right now. And every person is going to be different. And that's part of the challenge is like, I hired her. So I needed to figure out what she needed to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I would not give her new clients for a little while, give her a little break, and focus on training her on just retaining the clients that I was feeding her schedule.
Yeah.
Because she needed it. She just really needed that support.
Well, and what an awesome, like, that's not a problem. I just think it's an awesome opportunity for you as the person hiring someone on to see, like, it's actually not a problem if these clients, I mean, it's a problem and it's not a problem.
Right.
A fixable problem if the therapist is not able to retain clients. And that is that's a training issue, not a personality problem, or right. not like nothing's gone wrong. And sometimes we throw people into the ocean and we're just like, swim. And they're like, but I don't know how. And we're like, just figure it out. Eventually you'll swim. But some people don't, right? And then they're exhausted and they're drowning. And we're just like moving the line constantly of expectations. And that makes hard feelings. It makes it difficult. It makes it awkward. And you know, I'm just very proud of you that you, and I don't even know if that's like the right words, but I'm just very impressed that you were able to take responsibility where you knew you hadn't done something that could help. And then you just started doing the thing that could help, because a lot of people would be, I think, embarrassed or would just decide that it's the other person's fault and write it off and like fire them or just start over, start fresh with someone new because you're like embarrassed or you're just too resentful to walk it back. And I watched you just be like, oh, I can just implement A, B, and C, and D, and then see how it goes and then tweak A or B to make sure C and D work out perfect. Would you say that's kind of what you did?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, I think I was feeling resentful when I thought I had given enough. I gave her like one floaty to swim, you know, or half
yeah, here's
floaty.
One water wing. Yeah.
You get one water wing. And for some reason she was drowning. I don't know why. But once I gave her two, she has like really excelled. And giving like having that sit down with her every month has been helpful too. We sit down, we talk about any particular issues that I think are coming up. I highlight, you know, the things that I think have been really successful. So she gets a little praise. And we all need that.
Yeah, for sure.
I wish somebody had done that for me over the many years I was a PTA. I heard a lot about what I was doing wrong and it didn't make me feel very warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
I want to do that differently.
Yeah, I think that's super important too, is like how, and I think we've talked about this in the mastermind, is like, how do you set this person up that you're hiring to have the best experience as an MFR therapist so that they want to work with you, they want to grow your dream, and they don't want to just be another cog in the wheel, just like doing things, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important to, as an employer, whether they're a contractor or an employee, as managing other people, you having clarity in your mind, you having a clean brain when you're making these decisions, and you being able to approach this in a way where you're not doing it emotionally, like you're doing it from a neutral position, which isn't always the natural go-to. So what's that been like for you to be able to get your mind managed or like talk over difficult things and then go and present this to your person that works for you?
I really think that the coaching that I got in December from there was more than one coaching. There were probably two or three. And you kept saying, we're going to keep having to have this conversation. We might have to have it every week. And in December, I was really, really uncomfortable. And in the course of that, and actually sitting down and like watching your videos and listening to you about the SOPs, I started to make a connection there and realized that I needed to shift. And it's kind of like, it was just a barrier. And I just, you know, I was trying to climb under it, I think. And there was no room or go around it. And that wasn't possible either. And I literally, you know, I just kind of shifted it over. That's how it feels like. I feel like I didn't have to, I kept trying to get over it, around it, whatever. And I was completely unsuccessful. And once my brain was in the right place, it just went away. It just disappeared. I remember January just feeling so peaceful and it was crazy because it took a lot of time to write those SOP, to write those standard operating procedures. And it took more time out of my schedule to sit down and do staff meeting and to make sure that she was getting treated. All the things that I've done, they took time, but I knew, like we both knew what was coming. I booked them out for several months. And so then my nervous system was like, oh, this is totally manageable. Because I think before it just felt like there were just too many things to take care of.
It's like managing, it's like having to spin plates, you know, like you're holding everything in your brain, which is totally impossible to do for a long period of time. Like it's fine to do for like a week at a time, but when all this stuff just piles on, I just had an experience of this because my assistant just transitioned roles, and then not having her for the last 2 months, I finally like could see how much of my brain she was holding for me. And so like when I got my brain back, I was like, oh God, this is terrible. Like, what am I going to do? Right. And like the first thing I started doing was writing it all down and tasking it all out so that I didn't have to continue to hold on to it. But it literally took me probably 8 weeks of being miserable to find out like, oh, I could just write all of this out. So I quit missing deadlines. So I quit being confused. I quit being so stressed out. Cause when your nervous system is whacked and all you want to do is quit, you know that something needs to change. You're not going to get relief from quitting. You're going to get relief from taking the action that you're the most resistant to, which is having tough conversations, but valuable conversations without emotions, and writing everything down and then deciding who's doing what when. So there's no confusion. Super helpful.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and I hadn't really, you know, I was just thinking that one of the things you said to me was, well, how is she doing? You know, and I didn't really know. So I started just reaching out to my client, because some of my clients we were sharing, but there's some people, her schedule just works better than my schedule, or you just couldn't get in to see me.
Ooh, let's review for a second before we go on that topic. Like you're literally doing this out of one treatment room, which is very unique and also I think so badass. So you guys, Patty has a person that works for her, plus she's hiring another person on, and they all share the same space. You do not need a giant clinic in order to do this.
No.
Just caveat.
More, I can share more on that later. I've figured out how to maximize without like having anybody be doing something that's harmful to them. I figured out by June how to maximize that space. And yes, we had a new client on Monday come through, and he was like, where do you all work? And we're like, here, just on different days.
Yeah, it's so cool. Calling all MFR therapists. Get ready to level up your practice and unlock your full potential with the Beyond 100K Mastermind. Applications open on April 12th, 2024. Enroll by April 14th, and you'll receive a complimentary and private one-on-one call with me, Heather, valued at over $500. This personalized session will provide tailored insights to accelerate your growth. Join us for a free training session on April 12th at 1 p.m. Central, with an encore presentation April 14th at 3 p.m. Central. Learn how to scale your MFR business, improve client outcomes, establish your authority, increase your income, and even carve out time for yourself with 6 weeks off every year. Don't miss this opportunity to take your practice to the next level. Sign up for the free training today. Go to themfrcoach.com/webinar. So back to when you were checking in with your clients on how your therapist was doing, what was that process like and what did you find out?
They all loved her. They all loved the work that they were receiving. Some people had already told me, and of course, the people that I was sharing with her, they loved her, which I sensed that because I figured I would have heard something. But her challenge was simply that she couldn't, because of her training, she wasn't booking people ahead.
Because nobody told her how to do it, right? Like you hadn't told her how to do that part yet.
No, like my process as a PTA kept my schedule full because I was always at risk of not having enough work. So I made sure I made myself responsible for my own schedule. I would walk people to the front desk or I would book them myself. So I took that experience and I transferred it into my business. It's been part of my success strategy. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I book people out for their whole package, or I make sure that they're booked out the next month whenever we're open again. And I'm constantly talking to them about their goals. It's because it's a therapeutic experience. And I just had not shared that piece with my employee. Simple, but duh.
I mean, you're not like, this is not a unique problem. I've observed so many therapists and new therapist relationships going sour because of this, like omitting this piece right here. Like you have this expectation as the employer that they're going to just make it happen for you and you shouldn't have to do anything. Like they should just get it. They should just know how to do it. And that's the big mistake. It's like, no, they don't know. And also you don't want them doing it their way. You want them doing it your way. So there's consistency across your practice. And so that clients are never confused if they go to see someone else. Like the recommendations are going to be the same to a certain degree. You know, like there's so much repetition and replication that can happen when you know exactly how you want it to go. So
right.
You've got that figured out.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm still, it's still a work in progress. You know, I'm still, today I spent my morning, is my day off. And I spent my morning writing a policy for my new healing immersion, writing the SOP, writing job description, which I still hadn't done because now I have two employees, so or contractors. So I needed a job description. Really, I needed it several months ago, but you know, there were just a lot of pieces to complete. So I'm whittling away at those on my day off.
Yeah. I think you need to call it an admin day instead of your day off. And you need to pick a different day off. Yeah.
Well, that's that, more to come on that.
Yeah.
That
okay.
I'm headed. So I can have a day off, literally off, and a day to do admin work. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. See, I like the flexibility in this whole process. It's like nothing is going wrong, but how can we just tweak every little piece to make it juicy and delicious so that every day or most of the days, because let's just face it, like life is going to life. There's going to be drama, whatever, some of the time. But if most of the time it feels like this spacious and luxurious situation for you, it's probably going to feel like that for the people working with you and for you as well. And there's so much value in having happy contractors, happy employees that really know what they're doing, that understand your processes. And they want to be successful and they want your business to be successful and they want to be there long term. That's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So now she's updated on how she's like, how many services she's provided and comparing, you know, from previous periods and how many people she's retaining. And she can see some of that because her schedule's booked all the way into April. So yeah, she has a pretty good awareness about it, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm still just, you know, I want her to have that information. And I gave her a bonus at the end of last year. And this year I offered to pay for part of one of her next seminars to go to skill enhancement seminar, because I think it's important. She's still, you know, works 2 days. So I think if she was working more, I would be willing to give her more. But I think that that's important. And that's something I want to do for my employees.
Yeah, I think it's fun to see like what's possible for the bonus opportunities that you have, or like what continuing education can you pay for, and how you can be in a position to be unattached from the outcome of that, right? Because you could pay for all of this and they could leave, you know, like they could leave after the end of their contract or whatever. And because you've set yourself up in a way, it's like you're not feeling graspy or desperate or upset about giving these things to the person working for you. It's coming from a deep place of, this is what I want you to have, versus I'm giving you this and now you owe me back, which I think a lot of time is the exchange for these kinds of relationships, which makes it sticky. So
yeah, I don't feel like that. You know, I do, you know, if I'm giving continuing ed money, I do want like 6 months for her to stay 6 months after that.
Yeah.
But if she said, I want to leave, I just say, you know, I just need you to pay me back for that before then. Oh, I feel like that's fair. It's equitable. 6 months is really it's a small thing. When I worked for big hospital systems, I was required to give them a year.
Yeah. Do you know what else is genius about this? Is like, you have that already written out and it's, you know, you have a contract for it. There's an expectation. There's no, I'm going to send you to this like loosey goosiness and then there's a problem later. Like it's spelled out. Okay, this is fine. And this is what will happen if you change your mind.
and it's agreed upon ahead of time. So there's zero drama. Everybody knows what's going on and you're fine either way. She's fine either way. That's the power in this is it's like, it's just so reciprocal. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it, you know, it's unquestionably, you add more people into your system. It is more work. There's no avoiding that, but there is a benefit to my business. And, you know, as we add one more person and we're now booked 2 months out, it will afford us the opportunity to, and potentially, well, and not potentially in June, well, May and June, I'm going to go back to 3 days a week. And that'll open up another day in my space for the new person. So then they'll both be potentially able to see 8 to 10 people a week, depending on whether they want to see 4 or 5 a day.
Yeah, it's so fun. And it's really wild how quickly you've moved with this, changed your schedule, did things one way, it didn't work, did it another way. And you're flexible in working it out. And you're also like learning how to maximize this space. So let's talk about having one treatment room and having three therapists work in it. Tell us how that works.
Well, there's only one of us there a day, except for opportunities for multi-therapist sessions during immersions. So there shouldn't be any overlap. Everybody cleans up their space before the next person comes. I've got opening and closing procedures. So, you know, things don't get forgotten, hopefully, to protect from that. They carry in their laundry and carry it out. That may change. I still have not moved forward on having someone else do laundry, but I've considered and will do sometime in the near future. I'll have a laundry service and I'll probably offer that. Extend that to them. So then that will be something that they won't even have to worry about. But it seems to be like, it seems to be working well. And if they have any questions or issues during the day, they have, you know, they have to close out their notes and they have to make sure everybody's paid. But so far it's been flowing very nicely. There's no walking in the next day, you know. I think I was probably afraid because it was my space. I was afraid that I would come in and something would be dramatically different, but nothing's been dramatically different. If there's something that, you know, it's like, oh, X got forgotten, I just, you know, we just have a conversation about it. It's like, hey, don't forget about that. Cause that's just natural because we're all sharing the same space.
What do you think has had to be the biggest shift for you personally to go from where you were when you first hired to where you are now? Like, what was the biggest mindset shift?
I think realizing that I needed more foundation. You know, I'm really good at ideas, but I think execution of ideas is much more successful for me when I have like a structure. I work better from a structure because otherwise I'm all bouncing around like a ping pong ball, or as I like to say, getting on the skateboard and just going down the hill with both feet on the skateboard and no helmet or anything. But you've helped me realize that I can have a foot on the ground and I can control the skateboard by establishing some good foundation there. I work better and everybody else seems to work better. My nervous system's better. I also realized that, you know, we're all going to be different. And I think that was a learning piece for me too. I don't know why, because I've been working with lots and lots and lots of people for years, but I think there's still like in that like less developed part of my brain, the thought that, you know, if I bring myofascial therapist in, that they're just going to like get it and they're going to be like me-ish, you know, to some degree. And that's just not true. So every single person who comes through my space as an employer or contractor is going to need something different from me, just like my children did.
Yeah.
You know,
funny how that works. Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 And so being able to stop and just figure out what it is they need so they can be successful instead of being frustrated or angry. Or, you know, I can be frustrated sometimes. And then I just, you know, roll it back. And it's like, okay, well, that's just how that person approaches things. And that mm-hmm. person needs X. So what can I do to support that person with their particular needs?
Yeah. I think it's much easier to when you have mind management tools where you're not just making decisions based on how you feel that day. So if you're having like a very, you know, vulnerable day or you're feeling angry or whatever, you're not like you're able to allow for those emotions, but not make decisions from there. Or if you have made a decision from there, be able to evaluate it so you can make a new decision and change your mind if you need to for the benefit of your business and for the person working for you. Those are huge, huge skill sets to have.
Yes. And I have taken the model that we use for coaching. And a lot of times I keep it simple for myself and I'll just like, how do I want to feel about this today? Or what thought do I want to have? Those are my kind of, those are the places I focus because I feel like, especially if I don't have time to sit down and write things out, if I just focus on, okay, what do I need to think to feel the way I want to feel? Then I can kind of like work towards the goal of having the feelings that I want to have or the thoughts that I want to have so I can be more successful and have a nervous system that is much more managed.
Yeah, it just feels better. I think for everybody that's listening, you know, the skills that we're talking about, like having mind management, these are the skills that you learn inside my foundational program. And then we go even like deeper in techniques and skills inside the mastermind, but all of these skills are something that you can learn. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I could never do that, or I'm annoyed by everybody and I'm never going to be able to change, I just want you to know that the skill sets that you learn when you are in my programs, they're learnable by everybody. And you kind of get the model of it and you get the foundations for it. And then you can use it to hire people. You can use it to raise your rates. You can use it to move your practice to a new state. You can use it to get fully booked. And you can definitely use it as a tool to be an advanced seller of myofascial release. And I love hearing like more and more often people tell me that not only are they great at selling MFR, but they love selling MFR. So what are your thoughts about your ability to sell MFR? And what are your feelings about selling MFR now?
It's so easy now. It is. I definitely, you know, my background and my like family history is probably like a lot of us. My, you know, I didn't have a lot of money growing up. So when I raised my prices to a certain level, I was completely comfortable with my price. I felt like that was appropriate, but my challenge was selling packages at that price. Or if I knew that somebody, and sometimes this is still sticky for me, like I have to, like I can process it through a different lens after the fact, but that's the whole point of kind of evaluating things. But if I get a sense that somebody maybe doesn't have money, sometimes I would hesitate to offer a package or an immersion, which is even more expensive. And I have really, I would say, I feel like I've really achieved new levels because I'm selling like 90 some odd percent of our clients have packages.
Yeah.
Which is very high.
Right. And it means that clients are coming for more than one treatment. So they're getting completely different results than a bunch of one-offs. And one-offs are a direct reflection of your ability to sell. That's it.
And you know, the people who are buying packages are now also buying immersions, more than one immersion, you know, where they're having 6 or 12 hours of therapy in 1 week. Mm-hmm. And that's an even, you know, like bigger investment for them. But I feel that has gotten like much easier for me. I'm still working on, you know, the larger immersion, the 12-hour one. That's still me working out my own stuff. And my therapist, the one that I've had, she's gotten really good at selling packages. So we've gotten to a new level with her. Now our next level is working on immersions. In fact, that's today's staff meeting discussion. Okay. What do we need to do to make her feel like this has value, help her understand the value. It, you know, whenever my brain gets stuck on the money stuff, I go back to what our, you know, what the belief triad that you shared with us. And if I know that MFR is the best thing for everybody, and I know that what I have to offer them as an MFR therapist, I know I can help them. If I'm not offering it to them, then I'm doing them a disservice.
I love that.
Because of some kind of money thing in my head. So
yeah, it's like your thought that prevents you from selling it because you think they're thinking something, right? And it's just when you can stay in that belief triad, belief in MFR, belief in yourself, and belief in the client, wanting MFR as the solve, it keeps you in that energy where selling is fun and you're selling it in the best interest of them and it's not about the money. So I think that's so great.
I would say that the times that it comes up for me are people that I've seen for a really long time who said no in the past, maybe when I wasn't as good at selling MFR. And it's funny, now my therapist is selling packages to them. And that's what made me go, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because I quit trying.
Right. It's always a sale. It's always, if clients are not buying, this is like key for everybody listening. It's never your price. It's always a sales issue that is solvable if you are willing to look at it. It's never your price. And if it is, I would tell you, but it's almost never your price. It just isn't. It's your ability. It's like somewhere in the belief triad, somewhere in your sales conversation. Maybe you're not evaluating. So you're just doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result and not knowing what to change. So those are some of the tools you learn when we work together. You learn the belief triad, you learn the thought model, you learn how to talk about and sell MFR, and then you learn the really important tool of evaluations. And yeah, you learn a lot of that in the foundation program, but then when you come into the mastermind, you just learn it much more clearly and deeply, and it is advanced selling. You go from maybe in foundations when you first meet me to a two-figure offer. Did you ever have a two-figure offer? Did you ever have a session that was like under $100?
No, I did before
coaching.
The Raise a Rate Bootcamp, but before the very first one.
So, okay. And that's, I think, the same for everybody.
It started at 90.
Yeah. People go from a two-figure offer when they first join coaching with me to a three-figure offer, something in the hundreds of dollars, to then in the mastermind where you learn how to sell a four-figure or multiple four-figure offer. And there's a growth that happens in order to go from someone that goes from two to three. And it's an even bigger growth step to go from that three-figure offer to a four-figure offer. I was talking to someone about that today and they're like, oh, I'm all sweaty now. He started talking about that, but they're already doing it. And so it's fine, but it's
just, right.
It takes work to be able to do that easily, but it's not hard work. It just takes some work on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah. You can sell that four-figure offer probably better than you ever sold the two-figure offer.
Oh, for sure. I don't think. And I also, like, you know, when you're selling, you know, have a $90 offer, I think people are like, what is that? Like, what's wrong with them?
Maybe. Some people are happy to pay $90, right? But
right.
I'm starting to even see that at like the certain three-figure numbers. I'm like, why is it free? But for therapists that are listening to this that have two-figure offers, why is it free? And what's happening? And let's get you to stop under-earning. Let's get you to develop all these skills so that you can eventually join the mastermind and hire if you want to, like Patty, learn how to sell immersions like other therapists do both, and or have a second offer. And no matter what, you will come out the other end loving to sell MFR, being an advanced seller of MFR, and being one of the therapists that is making MFR mainstream. So I just want to say thanks for all of your work that you've put in to push this movement ahead, to serve your clients, to serve the therapists that work for you and the future therapists that will work for you, because it really is making a difference in our industry. It's making MFR mainstream.
It really is, especially here in Richmond.
Yeah.
All of our MFR therapists in Richmond have gotten coached by you.
Yeah, I love that for you guys. And you're all doing well. That's the wild. I mean, it's not wild. Like, that is the point of this, is so that everybody can do it. And even when there's multiple therapists in the area, Before we wrap up, do you want to say anything else about what you would recommend for people to join the mastermind and where we can find you?
Well, I would say that if you have done the basics and you're feeling like you're ready for something a little bit more, you have this vision of something more than what you're currently doing, it's a really good place to develop, you know, those ideas and be supported and nurtured. The coaching that you get is going to really allow you to either pursue a second offer. Heather's awesome at helping take that creativity and just kind of grow it, or to take something as simple, what should be simple, as hiring and make it manageable and successful. Or even, you know, the immersion offer, which is, that's helped us too. That's been something I've added, and I needed that, again, that foundation, that structure, the mind management to figure that all out, because I really couldn't move forward on it until I did that. So it's a great place and a very low cost. I think it should cost more, just saying that out loud, for what you get.
Thank you, Patty. Well, it's a pleasure to be your coach, and it's fun to watch the progression of what you've created, and I'm going to continue to watch you grow. Tell everybody where we can find you.
I'm Exhale Myofascial Release, RVA, in Richmond, Virginia. My website is exhalemfr.com. My Instagram handle is exhalerva.
All right, everybody, go find Patty and follow along. And if you're in the Richmond, Virginia area, go and book an appointment with her or one of her therapists that works for her. So yeah, awesome. Thanks again for joining us. And I'll be back with another special episode of Beyond 100K soon enough. See you then. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute and rate and review the podcast. I appreciate it. For more information, please follow me on Facebook and Instagram at TheMFRCoach. And check out my website, www.themfrcoach.com, for more information. If you are currently not working 20 hours or less and making six figures in your MFR business, I want to help you change that. Make sure you tune into the show and get on my email list so you never miss out on important trainings and information. To be the first to find out when we are enrolling next for my 12-month Business Foundations coaching program, get on that email list at www.themfrcoach.com/join. Inside this program, you'll learn how to raise your rate, overcome objections, and sell MFR. You'll become the MFR therapist that never under-earns and never burns out. It's up to us to make MFR mainstream, and it starts with you and your successful MFR practice. See you next week.